All right, well, good evening. It's such a privilege for me to be here with you all. I'm going to start by trying something a little unusual. I hinted at it before. I have a sort of musical background, so I hope you don't mind if I response style. So I'll just do a short little ditty, and you can repeat it back to me, and hopefully it'll be a good experience for everybody. It goes like this. The Lord is my light. My light and salvation.
My light and salvation.
In him I trust.
In him I trust.
In him I trust.
In him I trust.
The Lord is my light.
The Lord is my light.
My light and salvation. In him I trust.
In him I trust.
In him I trust.
In him I trust.
Awesome. You guys sound great. So a little context for that. We are in the opening of John's Gospel today, which is some of the most mysterious and artistic text of the entire Bible. So it's good, I think, to have our right brain sort of awake and moving. So without further ado, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. I'd like to invite you all to rest in the goodness of mystery. God far exceeds the greatest reaches of the human imagination, but the 21st century mind, particularly here in the West, is deeply suspicious of mystery. Today, I'd like to challenge that intellectual resistance because John is inviting us to rest in the profundity of the mystery of the Word made flesh, the Incarnation. So the text is probably familiar to you, the opening of John's Gospel, but try something for me. If you could just ignore the fact that you've heard it many times before and consider the strangeness of this language. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's a seemingly bizarre reduction, actually, to cram the omnipotence of the Godhead into what the Oxford English Dictionary describes as a single distinct meaningful element of speech. That's how the modern dictionary defines word. This got me wondering, what is the function of a word at the most fundamental level? What is it that words actually do? Why do we use language? I think the answer is actually a fairly intuitive one. We use words to communicate or to be in communion with one another. Language is a point of mutual or common accessibility that's exchanged in order to grow and foster relationship. So words can't exist in a vacuum. They're uttered from someone to someone or written to be read. Language is never stagnant. It's always in motion, and the impetus of that motion is relationship. Is there power in language? Is there power in the word? Well, John's verdict in verse 3 is yes. Verse 3 says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made through him, without him was not anything made that was made. This verse is making a clear reference to the creation account. What happened in the creation account in Genesis? Apparently it went something like this. God said, let there be, and there was. God said, let there be, and there was. John makes it clear that all things were made through the Word, and notice the sneaky injection of the personal pronoun here. John doesn't say that all things were made through it, so we're clearly talking about a person. So remember what I said about language being intrinsically relational. The Word is a person seeking relationship. If this is true, it follows that when creation was spoken or sung or called into existence, it was called into relationship. But the critical question is, so what? So what? What does any of that have to do with those of us sitting in this room today? I'm here to tell you that the Word himself is speaking to you. By him the creation is called to relationship, and everyone sitting in this room, you, me, everyone, is part of the creation. So because you exist, God wants to personally know you. Because you exist, he wants to personally know you. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The life was the light of men. If we take John seriously, I think we can actually infer a true inversion of this verse. And the juxtaposition sounds like this. Outside of him was death, and death is the darkness of men. So John establishes the word as the ultimate antithesis of death and darkness. The word contains life, and life belongs to the realm of light. I think this verse is intended to awaken something inside us, a knowledge embedded on our hearts that's calling out for satisfaction and fulfillment, a knowledge maybe beyond what this world can actually offer us. John wants to bring that out of hibernation. The Pevensey children of Narnia fame had a very similar experience in The Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe, and that sounded something like this. None of the children knew who Aslan was any more than you do, but the moment the beaver had spoken these words, everyone felt quite different. Perhaps it has sometimes happened to you in a dream that someone says something which you don't understand, but in the dream it feels as if it had some enormous meaning, either a terrifying one, which turns the whole dream into a nightmare, or else something lovely, a meaning too lovely to put into words, which makes the dream so beautiful that you remember it all your life and are always wishing you could get into that dream again. At the name of Aslan, each of the children felt something jump inside. We are meant to hear the word of God in that way. So the name of Jesus should strike us the way the name of Aslan strikes Lucy Pevensey. Why? Because in him, in Jesus, is life, and life is the light of men. What do these words mean to you, and have you wrestled with their implications? Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Imagine it this way with me. One tiny match will glow in a room as black as pitch. So if I turned off all the lights in this room right now and covered the windows and lit a single match and held it up, it would be visible to everyone. All of you would see it. So a tiny half centimeter of flame can burn in meters and meters of darkness. So it only takes a little bit of light to penetrate deep darkness. Now remember, the light of men is the life that overflows from and through the word. Did you know this? This is seriously good news. This is good mystery. The word is the light burning away at the darkness in our world, and John isn't talking about a match strike. We need to understand the power and magnitude of this light. Revelation tells us that the New Jerusalem will have no need for sun or moon to shine on it, because the glory of God will illuminate the city, and the Lamb will be its lamp. By its light, the nations will walk. Are you stumbling in your life? Walk by this light. The Word and the Lamb are one and the same in Jesus Christ. It is Jesus that shines in the darkness, and it is Jesus that the darkness cannot overcome. So we've been through quite a bit of content, and I'll just hit three touchstones before I close to debrief with you all. One, the Word, Jesus Christ, seeks a relationship with you. Creation exists and was called into relationship by the Word, and you are part of the creation, and you are called to a relationship with him. Two, light and life are in the Word. They cannot be found outside of him. John uses deliberately stirring language to evoke and awaken the call of the word in our hearts, and it's not a dream. This is God's extraordinary, mysterious reality. And three, a light great enough to replace the sun and the moon is shining in our darkness, in this present darkness, and the power of this light reflects God's inaugurated kingdom here on earth. The light is the very presence of God's kingdom among us, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ. The Word made flesh seeks a relationship with you because he loves you. Love is both your origin and your destiny in Jesus Christ. This is a mystery, but it is a deeply good mystery. Light and life are in Jesus. The light of Christ is so dazzling that it eclipses everything else in the cosmos. So be encouraged because it is shining in our darkness, in my darkness, in your darkness. It's shining. I just wonder, is there anything stopping you from taking up love's invitation today?